I guess it's my understanding I'm supposed to give a personal witness about relationships with Jesus now. And fortunately, it's only 5 minutes, so you don't have to listen to me too long. And I don't like speaking that much anyway. So, you know, here I am. And
you like blowing up things, right?
What's that?
You like blowing up the minds.
Okay, well, since tonight's about salvation, you can't really talk about salvation at all without talking about mercy. And so I just wanted to touch on the topic of mercy for just a second, which really salvation and mercy are so intertwined that you can't separate them. It's, you know, I think it's important for everyone to understand that God's mercy is so great that there's nothing we could ever do that is beyond it. I think every once in a while, well, you find someone who thinks that they've been so bad that they can't, you know, God can't save them. Well, that's not true. And so I just wanted to mention that. And leading into this relationship with Christ, I want to talk for a second about the sacrament of reconciliation, or penance as it's sometimes known. And for me, that's one of the ways that I really encounter Christ in my day-to-day life, or how I've encountered him in my life as a Catholic Christian. You know, it's something that, it's a place where you come to know God's mercy, and I mean, it's just incredible. And even the church talks about when you confess your sins, you're not confessing them when the priest grants absolution, it's not really the priest granting absolution, it's Jesus. And, you know, it's the priest acting in the person of Christ. And what a wonderful thing that is to go and, I think I'm probably not the only one in this room who's ever had this experience, but when you go to the sacrament of reconciliation and you confess your sins and the priest raises his hands and grants you absolution, you can feel the weight of your sin or everything that you confess just lifted off of you. Not physical lifting, you know, people used to say this, you know, I remember hearing it whenever I was young, and I would be like, well, what, like you went in there with a weight on you and the priest took it off? You know, obviously that's not the kind of lifting that I'm talking about, and I think me and probably most of us, if not all of us in this room, understand that it's not a physical lifting off of it. It's just that spiritual, you understand that your sins have been forgiven and that God's mercy is just so great. Just in the same sort of way that salvation and mercy are intertwined, so is the sacraments of reconciliation and Eucharist. And the Eucharist is another place that you have this great encountering with Jesus. You go to Mass and there it is, there's the holy sacrifice of the Mass, Jesus' sacrifice made present to us. And when I'm there, it's great because there you are, you're communing with Jesus in Holy Eucharist. When you receive Holy Communion, you commune with him, and you can offer everything in your life. When that priest is offering Mass, you can just offer everything to him in a way that's similar but distinct from reconciliation. Again, I think that everyone in here has probably experienced that already, but I think it's good to be reminded of these things from time to time. And so the Eucharist is very important in my life and in my relationship with Jesus, because there he is, right there for us. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. Just such an incredible gift that he's given us. You know, there was I think Cardinal Newman, who's blessed now, correct me if I'm wrong, Father. Or maybe it was the other Newman who spells his name differently. Nope. He talks about if you were to...
Which one are you talking about? The British one?
I don't know. Maybe when I say the, or give you the gist of the quote, I can't quote it directly. But
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Alvin?
N-E-G-M-A-N. It might be that one. Yeah. It's really of no consequence. But he talked about if you go in while there's adoration going on and there's Jesus exposed on the altar, and you were to kneel down and look on that host, that the experience that you would have would be identical to if you were transported almost 2,000 years ago now, back in time, and you were on Calvary and you were on your knees. He talked about the reality of the Eucharist being such that another way that, thank you for mentioning the devil, by the way, I already told you personally, but in front of everyone, another great way that this relationship is certainly reciprocated is in this great power that we're given. When you read the Gospels, and forgive me for not having a quote ready for you, but when you read the Gospels, you get all kind of methus on it. You get all kind of stories of Jesus casting out demons and giving his apostles first, and then later on everyone, the power to cast out demons. And this is a great thing. It's not often that I would encounter something that's so upfront, in your face, like, oh, this person's possessed, that like I would walk up to the devil or something. But we talked about in our small group, if you were to take a frog and throw it in boiling water, the frog jumps out. But if you take the frog, put it in water and boil it, the frog doesn't jump out, the frog just dies. And that's a lot of the way the devil works. He doesn't do things that are like, bam, right in your face usually, because you're going to reject that and you're going to recognize that. But the way he works is just little by little, creeping along, creep. And next thing you know, as Bob said, you're watching something on TV and you think to yourself, what am I doing watching this? This show is terrible. And so just the great power that we've been given. Before Jesus gave the apostles any other power, he gave them the power to cast out demons. And, keeping an intense prayer life keeping an intense prayer life and having it Eucharist-centered helps me continue to be aware of that, this reality that we're in, that is the good versus evil world that we live in, and how true that is, and keeps me aware, put it that way, helps things creep along, or when, I realize things are creeping, I guess, would be the best way to do it, but, I don't know who in here knows the prayer to St. Michael the Archangel, but it's definitely on my lips pretty often, a couple times a day, I'd say, at least, and that's just, to think that here I am, little old sinner Martin Smay, going about his business, yet Jesus came, he saved us, and not only did he save us, but he gave us the power to keep that salvation. And one last thing I want to mention real quick, and this is slightly off subject. I don't know, maybe it worked out better in my mind or something, but my mind isn't always the best. is the idea of the communion of saints and how close and how intimate things are between this world that we're in here and the world up there, the world that people like St. Paul and St. Peter and the apostles and, various people down through the centuries, they're up there and we recognize that they're saints. And just how, as Christians, we're called to imitate Christ, and how important it is for me that part of my relationship with Christ is to look at the saints and to see how they imitate Christ, because it's a little bit easier whenever you see. Sometimes it's a little too big of a jump for me personally whenever I think about Jesus, and I'm like, wow, he's perfect. Like, you know, that's too big of a jump for me, so I like to look at a saint. St. Augustine's a great one, because he was a big sinner before he was ever a saint. And, you know, just say, hey, it's possible, it's great. And to come to know Jesus in that way. All right, I'm finished.
Well, I know we have some songs, but the guys won't let me teach you that song. Next week, I'll teach you the song. Next week, I'll sing for you.
Next week we'll try to keep him.
If you didn't get a little journal, it's a small little book, I'll try to get one to you this week. Nidra, Cameron, you get one or you didn't get one? Okay. You guys both got one, right? Dorothy, you got one. Right. Elena, thank you for being here. So good seeing you again. Come back. Thank you. Keep your journals up. It's very easy. The incremental reading, meditations every day. There's 50 days in this program. And we kind of stretch it out a little bit because we skipped Holy Week. But you guys can also journal during that week, too. Let's sing away. You got the slide for it? All right. Let's praise God. Refreshments up here. You're welcome.